lesson. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 342, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. Instructed in thy holy law, to praise thy word, I lift my voice. O Lord, be thou my present help, for thy commandments are my choice. 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 342.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the book of the Judges and thereof chapter 2. But first, we make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Judges chapter 2. And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim, and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt, and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they called the name of that place Bochim. And they sacrificed there unto the Lord. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord with all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the Mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of the spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods, and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And it came to pass, when the judge was dead, that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, Because that this people hath transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel, whether they will walk, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we have heard that they called the name of that place Bochim, weeping. But it did not last long, for soon they were after their whoring again, after all the idols of the land, and so thou showest unto us what lives in us. O that thou may give us true weeping hearts, a true godly sorrow, that may be from thy Holy Spirit, and that may never die, that may truly weep for our iniquity, and that may desire to turn therefrom, to serve thee with all our heart, might, and strength, and that our sin may be grievous unto us. Oh, we cannot give it to ourselves, we cannot give it to one another. But thou dost say, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days, and thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that. O Lord, that thou wouldest remember us as a congregation, that thou may show thyself with thy Holy Spirit, for we know not how that a child does grow in the womb, and we do not know how that the Spirit goes about either. It is as the wind, it is as the breath of thy Spirit, so mysterious unto us, so that this one is brought from afar and that one is brought down from his wicked way in the midst of this world, and that another in his hypocrisy is left to perish. O Lord, look upon us in thy mercy, for we are so full of ourselves, and we cannot get rid of that great I that lives within us, and the bosom sin of our hearts. Thou knowest what it is in the heart of each and every one, and then we are all iniquity before thee, thy holy, thy righteous countenance, and they cannot look upon sin. And then, Lord, to whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. None of us can appear before thee without guilt and pollution and corruption, without being condemned by thy holy and perfect and thy righteous law. Oh, then we need that grace of thy dear and only begotten Son to be applied to us and unto our dear children. Oh, that thou may awaken us from our death sleep, O Lord, and that thou may show to us our great wretchedness, and that thou mayest reveal thy Son in us as thou hast revealed him even within a Saul of Tarsus, and that he may be brought low, that he may have his eyes open to see who and what thou art, who that he did reject, whom that he did oppress within thy church, against whom he fought and kicked against the pricks. O Lord, that thou may open it unto us both young and old, and thou knowest what is needed. For we are so dead in sins and in our trespasses, with hearts that love sin, that desire sin, and that do not want to leave our ways of sin and carnality and worldliness, and that our hearts do serve with pleasure in the midst of this world. And thou knowest that our time, O Lord, is so short, but we do not know because our eyes are so blinded by our sin and by the wretchedness of our heart and by the wiles of the devil, the deceiver, the liar from the beginning, who continues to lie unto us and to say, "Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow ye die." Oh, then we have no ears, O Lord, to hear thee and thy holy word, except that thou dost raise us from the dead by thy most powerful Spirit. O Lord, then thou alone art able to give that life unto hard and stony hearts, and to break them, to make them to be contrite, that we may weep a true tear, and that it may be pressed out of us by thy Holy Spirit, and that we may be given a life that hungers and that thirsts after the true and the living God. Oh, make thyself precious unto us, thou great creator of the whole universe and provider for that universe. Each and every day, men rejecting thee, and yet thy long-suffering over us is so very, very great. Do forgive and take away all of our many sins, the sins of the nations, the corruption, the outward manifestation of all that lives in our natural hearts, and that we see the great turmoil that is in this world. Lord, that thou may remember the Russian people, that thou may remember the Ukrainian people, remember the Iranian people in these days also under the corruption of their governments. And Lord, thou knowest what is necessary in all the turmoil of the nations. Oh, that thou may draw men once again to thy truth and to seek thee, and that thou wouldest have mercy amidst the well-deserved wrath, and draw again that men may bow before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that thou may remember all the places where thy word has not yet come. Lord, then they have a soul as ours, a conscience as ours, but they have not the word of truth as we may have, and we are no different than they, conceived in sin and born in iniquity. And what maketh us to differ from them? Lord, that thou may give thy word, give men, bind it upon the hearts of men, and that they may desire to go to bring thy word over the length and breadth of this whole world, and that thy kingdom may come, and that thy will may be done, and that thy church may be brought in, that thy name may be glorified, that the kingdom of Satan may be broken down, and that thy kingdom may be built up, and that we and our children would not be left behind as we so justly deserve, having received so many blessings and privileges, and have turned so many times our back upon thee. Oh, suffer us not to go our own way. Leave us not as we deserve to be left, but have thou mercy amidst well-deserved wrath. Look upon our youth, our children, and their parents. Lord, thou knowest that relation between parents and children, and thou hast given it, but wilt thou also supply for it? For thou sayest to fathers and mothers to instruct them in my fear, and we have been so amiss, remiss, and so slothful. But Lord, wilt thou give us diligence in thy ways, and give children the tender fear of thy name, the youth to obey father and mother, because that is a commandment, the first commandment with promise, that thou may give them to obey thee, that thou mayest bless thy word in the midst of the families, that thou mayest remember our school, remember the sick, the afflicted, those in hospitals, both young and old, those that suffer, those that have pain, and those that have difficulties of mind and body, the widows in our midst, all widows and widowers, handicapped orphans, and those that have addiction to drugs and to alcohol and pornography. Lord, thou knowest the wiles of the devil. Wilt thou look upon each and every one, and teach us our hands to war and our fingers to fight. Look upon us as a congregation. Give us together to seek thee with all our heart, might, and strength, that we may receive that faithfulness with one another to warn one another upon the ways of this life as we travel to eternity, one thing being needful, and that we may guide one another, that we may keep one another from the ways of sin, and that we could not let each other so easily go lost as we walk together upon our pathway here below. Help us, O Lord, this hour. Wilt thou give us strength for the labors of our hands? Wilt thou fill us with thy Spirit? For where thy Spirit is, there is liberty. And that thy Spirit may go forth in the midst of us, do grant true conversion, that the power of the heavenly God, the Almighty God, may be felt, may be experienced, convicting of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, and giving hope in thy dear and only begotten Son, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 188, all the stanzas. Make haste, O my God, to deliver, I pray. O Lord, to my rescue, make haste. Let those who would harm me be filled with dismay, and in their own folly disgraced. 1-4 of Psalter 188. Thank you. Beloved congregation, we read of Rebekah that she went to inquire of the Lord. What did she go to inquire of the Lord about? Well, there was something that she did not understand. Are there sometimes things that you do not understand? Do you then go to inquire of the Lord to ask Him to give you light, to give you entrance into His holy word, to give you an understanding heart? What was it that Rebekah did not understand? Well, she had been barren. That she did not understand. Can you understand that? Are you barren? No fruit to the Lord? And there was a promise. She had hoped in that promise. The promise was given to Abraham. That was given unto Isaac. And she has no child. That she did not understand. Do you also not understand concerning the promise of the Lord? Do you then go to inquire of Him? We read that Isaac entreated the Lord for Rebekah, his wife. And then what? We read that she conceived. Then it goes in the right direction. That is good. Now it goes right. Now I can understand it. But that did not last very long. Because soon there is a struggle. It is a struggle within her. No one else could see that. No one else could feel that. It was a struggle in her womb. Fight. The Lord says two nations in that womb. And both of those nations are struggling for the preeminence, the one to be the stronger than the other. But the Lord says, who shall receive that preeminence? There are no persons in the whole world that are so dear unto the Lord as to His own children. They are the apple of His eye. He has loved them with an everlasting love. But it does not always look that way. It does not always seem that way. It does not look that way so often to the enemy. Because the enemy, he says so often, the Lord has forsaken him. Persecute and take him. And then there is an enemy on the inside that says, my Lord hath forgotten me. Why does the Lord leave it so in the life of His people? That is what we wish to consider with the Lord's help in this afternoon hour. Out of the words of our text, which you can find in the portion read to you, Judges chapter 2. And thereof, the first phrase of the last verse, verse 23a, Judges 2, verse 23a, therefore the Lord left those nations. So far, the words of our text. The nations the Lord left. First, which nations they were, we read, those nations. Which nations they were? Second, why they were left. It says, therefore, the Lord left those nations. That's why they were left. The nations the Lord left, first, which nations they were, and second, why they were left. Therefore, the Lord left those nations. That's what nations does he speak about. What does it mean when it says that the Lord left them? Say, well, they are the nations of the land of Canaan. That is the land of Canaan, which is called the land of promise. That was a promise made to Abram. And it was a promise that was made unto his seed. The Lord said to Abram, I am the Lord which brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give this land unto thee. And he made a covenant with him. We read, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, and the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaims, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. 10 nations mentioned by the Lord here. 10, that is the number of completeness. And if you look where those nations are, they were from the south of the land of Canaan all the way up to the north of that land of Canaan. Thus, the Lord said to Abram that this whole land, from the south unto the north, that whole land, the complete land, the number 10, I give this land unto you. Say, there were people living in that land. What is then going to happen with all the people? Say, that is their land. This land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and so on. What will then will happen, boys and girls, unto all those people? Well, they will be slain. Say, slain. Is that right? That all those people, they are to be slain? And that the children of Israel should be allowed to live in their land? How can that be right? We read in the Bible that Noah said, cursed be Canaan. Why? It was on account, it was really a curse to Ham, that is the father of Canaan, what he had done unto his father. And then Noah, he spoke that curse concerning the seed of his son Ham, that is his own grandchildren. Say, is that right? That those children should be cursed. They are not the ones that have sinned. That was Ham. Does not it say in the word of God that the son shall not bear the iniquity of the father? How is it then that the Canaanites, they are cursed on account of the sin of their father, that is the sin of Ham. The word of God, we read that in the commandments, that says that the children are going to be visited for the sins of their fathers to the third and the fourth generation. That does not mean, however, that the children will die, that the children will be punished for the sin of their father. The Lord is just. No child is punished for the sin of his father. How is it then that these Canaanites are cursed? Well, what is the visiting of the sin of the fathers upon the children that shows us fathers what a great responsibility that we have in the position that God has given to us? That is, when the fathers forsake the Lord, then their children are not kept back from sin. Then their children are allowed to go the same way that they are born in, that is, dead in sins and in trespasses. And thus, the children are visited with the corruption of the fathers. They have the example of the fathers. And in a very natural way, they go in the same way as their father, as their mother. But that is a different thing than to be punished for the sin of their father. It is only just when the father will be punished, every man, the Lord says, for his own sins. But the Lord is not obliged to convert anyone. No one. It is the goodness of the Lord that the Lord says to his people that I give it to you and I give it also to your seed. That is not that a child is converted because his father is converted, but the Lord works also in a very natural way. When his people will walk according to his law, then his children also do see that example. They are means that the Lord is using to convert his people. The Lord has no obligation to save anyone. Everyone in the whole world deserves condemnation because there is nothing good in us. Because our hearts are filled with sin, and it is only the goodness, the long-suffering, the grace, the mercy of the Lord that he will stop a man. He is not obliged. Cannot say, Lord, thou must do it. It is all mercy. Do you ever bow your knees for mercy? Seeing how great the sin is of our heart, how great the sin is of our life. Oh, it is such a sovereign gift. A sovereign gift of God, so that a child whose father does not walk rightly, he may still go on his knees, and he also may be converted. And a child of a God-fearing father or a God-fearing mother who is left, who desires nothing but to rebel against that way that he has been brought up in, he is justly left unto himself. Thus, those Canaanites, they are not only cursed, but those Canaanites have made a willful choice to do what? To leave what they have been taught by Noah, Ham, his father, and the grandchildren, what they have heard from their grandfather. And they have made a willful choice that they will not walk in that way. And thus it is not because of the sin of Ham that the Lord condemns those Canaanites. But it was because of their own sin. Because they have chosen to leave a way that the Lord has instructed them in. And the Lord has condemned that whole nation. And he has given that a command unto the children of Israel Thus the children of Ham, the Canaanites, they die not for the sin of their father, but for their own sin. And us? Say it is reprobation. Election. No. Reprobation is not the cause of our punishment. The Lord justly leaves us when we do not want to walk, when we do not make the choice to live in that way that He commands us and instructs us in His Word. That we are not dying and we are not punished because of reprobation. We are punished because of our own sin. Unto thy seed have I given this land. The earth is the Lord's. He has created it. And He gives it to whomsoever He will in this whole world. Do you believe that? Ahab can steal the portion of Naboth, but the Lord avenged his blood, and there is nothing that takes place in this whole world without the will of not only the Creator, but also the Provider of this whole world. Satan cannot lift one finger against Job, except that he has explicit permission from the Lord. Unto thy seed have I given this land. That is the declaration of God. It is the declaration of the Creator of that land. It is the declaration of the dispenser of all goods in the midst of this world. It is the declaration of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, unto thy seed will I give this land. It is mine to give. And the persons that are living in it are unworthy of it. And I will give it, and there is no man that can hinder it, that can hinder the Lord in His distributions. The Syrians, they had to admit that. No, O King, there is not one of us that is a traitor. But Elisha, the prophet, he tells the king of Israel what thou sayest in thy bedchamber. God of Israel does not need us. He does what He pleases in that whole world, and He may do it however that He pleases. And now our text that comes from the book of Judges. After Joshua has brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and through after Moses had brought them out of Egypt through that wilderness, Joshua has brought them into that land of Canaan, the land of promise. It was promised, and it was according to that covenant now with Abraham, Isaac, and with Jacob. But what do we read? The Lord left those nations. Who? Canaanites and those neighboring nations with them. The Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Perizzites, etc. We think also of the Philistines. They were not of the Canaanites. And the Lord brought Israel into that land of Canaan. That was according to His promise. And they have now the preeminence in that land of Canaan. But what did now the Lord not do? He did not drive out all of the original inhabitants of that land. Why not? That is our second thought. Therefore, it says, therefore the Lord left those nations. Wherefore? There are two reasons. We can read it in the Word of God. And what is the first reason? The first reason is it was a punishment. Punishment. It was a chastisement. For what? We read, and the children of Benjamin did not drive out the inhabitants, out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bethshean and her towns, nor Taanach and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, and so on. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer. Neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, nor the inhabitants of Naalal. Neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Akko, nor the inhabitants of Zidon. Neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth-Shemesh, and so on and so on. Directly contrary to the specific command of the Lord. What did he say? When the Lord said, I will bring you into that land of Canaan and I will send a hornet before you. Hornets, you know what they are, children, right? And they will drive them out, and I will help you to drive them out. The Lord said to the children of Israel when they would come into the land of Canaan that they were to save alive none that breatheth, but shall utterly destroy them, namely the Hittites and the Ammonites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. You say, that's cruel. Oh, it was just. It was the judgment of the Lord. And it will be our judgment too. That is now laid out for us in that Word of God. When we have no desire to walk according to His ways, then the Lord says, I will leave of you none that breathe. That was a judgment of the Lord, congregation, against sin. And the Lord had given to the Israelites that task to be the instrument of His vengeance. It was now their duty to put away those whom the Lord had condemned. But Israel failed to do it. They did not do it. They failed to drive them out. That was a great sin of omission. What is that? Omission. To omit something. Boys and girls, there are things your father and mother say, you must do it. And when you do not do it, then you omit doing something that you are commanded to do. If your father or mother says there is something you may not do, and you do it, then you commit a sin. But when there is something that you have to do, and you do not do it, then you leave it out. And that is a sin of omission. And the children of Israel were commanded specifically by the Lord to leave not one breathing person in that whole nation. That sin that had risen up to heaven. And the Lord says they must drive them out. Why did they not do that? It is war. We do not know. The Bible does not say that. But war is not a nice thing, is it? It's a difficult thing. It can be that they were simply slothful. that they were lazy, that they said, well, it will not be so bad if we just leave some of them. We read that some of them they put to tribute, so they said, well, we can use some of them, make good use. They can be our servants, and we do not have to put them to death. But the Lord had condemned them. And what were now the consequences? Influence. They began to influence the children of Israel. We read that they began to serve their gods, their idols, especially their children and their grandchildren, who had not seen the mighty works of the Lord. Oh, what will happen, fathers and mothers? What will happen to our children when we are slothful in the putting away of sin? Because these Canaanites, they are for us a picture. They are for us an illustration. When the children of Israel were given that land of Canaan, that was for them a picture of that heavenly Canaan, where God dwelt. That was the land that was flowing with milk and honey. And there is a place where there is no sin. That is the complete deliverance of the church of God. That is salvation. When there is no sin left anymore, inside or outside, is that salvation to you? You desire to be saved. From what? From what? You desire to be saved from sin, then why would we commit it? Then why would we go on in it? No, then we do not desire to be saved from sin. And we do not desire Christ, and we do not desire salvation at all. Oh, what an offense that was for the Lord when sin was left in His holy land. That land of promise that He had set apart for His people. He was delivering them out of that land of bondage. He was setting an illustration before His church for the whole world, for the time to come. And His people failed to do as He has commanded, to put away those Canaanites who were steeped in their idolatry and who were a picture for God's people of iniquity. What an offense. And that has influenced the children of Israel. And that has influenced their own children and their children's children. Are you influenced? What do you think, young people? Are you influenced? Or do you think you are so strong that you can come so near to sin and it will not affect you? You can just leave it very close to you. Blessed is he that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, we read, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Hear what it says? It is a decline. First, there is a walking together. You say, well, that is not so bad. I just let him walk beside me. And then after a while, well, then you stand still and you have a conversation and you become friends. Finally, you sit down together and then you visit with one another. That is the way sin works in our life, isn't it? That is the warning that the Lord gives unto us. It is so gradual so often that we read of Lot that he is sitting in the gate of Sodom. That has happened much quicker than Lot probably thought. And a great influence upon his own family. An imperceptible decline, O Canaan, that land of promise. And the Lord now delivering his people and his own people, not putting away their own sin. Oh, the Lord is commanding his people when he converts them that they would put away his sin, that they would mortify sin, that it may be with rigor, that they would have no pity on sin, that there would be not one sin that can breathe in your life. But how many bosom sins is the church not slothful to put away and then provoking that anger of the Lord in the life of his own people? And what does the Lord say to the children of Israel? He says, if ye will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye left remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. That is now the first reason that the Lord left those nations, as a punishment, as a chastisement to his disobedient people when they refused to put away their sin. Then the Lord punishes sin with sin. Then he allows it to go on. Then he does not give them the power to resist sin. James says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But if you will not resist, then I will not help you. That's a great punishment. Therefore the Lord left those nations to chastise his people, to be pricks in their eyes, and to be thorns in their side, and to take away all their comfort, and to take away all their rest. Oh, how often does the Lord not use enemies, the enemies of his own people, just for that? Solomon, you see him going into those idol temples, and then the Lord, he raises up a Jeroboam. Jeroboam was a wicked man. A wicked man. See how that he has led the 10 tribes, the children of Israel, into the ways of sin. But the Lord has used him to prick the eyes of Solomon and to be as a thorn in his side. Oh, and when the wicked, they rise and they come against us, oh, then we say, oh, you. No, be careful. Be careful. Because the Lord, he allows that so often in the life of his people. And then they can be so wrong, they can be an enemy of the Lord and of his people. But what have his people to do? Oh, they have to look inside. Because the Lord, he can take that enemy away in a moment. It is all in his hand. But the Lord allows it. It is his doing, his permission. And then that people, they must say, oh Lord, what have I done? What have I done? How do I live? And that is not always so. Sometimes it is for another reason. But it is a common thing. And that is what we read here. Therefore, the Lord left those nations. But there is also another reason. But we sing first. 123. If we have forgotten the name of our God, or unto an idol our hand spread abroad, shall not the Almighty uncover this sin? He knows all our hearts and the secrets within. 1, 2, and 3 of 123.
Thank you.
Therefore, the Lord left those nations. Why? For the chastisement of his people. That is, for their own sin. We read that over and over in the book of Judges. Because we read that they left the Lord, and then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And then the Lord, he remembered his covenant, and he sent a judge. And the Lord delivered them out of the hands of their enemies, and then they went back again into their sin over and over and over again. Oh, the Lord says we have to teach our children. Why? Because they know not the way and the works of the Lord that he has done unto their fathers. Therefore, the Lord left those nations. But there is now here written a second reason. What is that? Through them, I may prove Israel. Whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not. To prove Israel. What is that? That is to try them. That is to put Israel to the test. There are some that say the Lord does not do that. Does not put his people to the test. That is harsh. That is cruel. The Lord does not work with his people in such a way. What if his people would fail that test, they say? Even Alfred Edersheim, a very able historian, you maybe have his books, Old Testament, New Testament, good history, congregation, and you cannot follow in all what such people say in their books. We have it written here in the Word of God that the Lord does indeed try his people, that the Lord does indeed prove his people. Our text that says that so very plainly. Neither is it harsh, neither is it cruel. Would David ask the Lord to be harsh to him when he said, "Search me, O Lord, and try my heart"? No, that is not harsh. David, he desired the Lord to try him. Why? Because he wanted to make sure it was true. And it is only the hypocrite who says, "I do not want the Lord to try me." Oh, we are afraid of that sometimes, aren't we? When we feel that, when we walk in a hypocritical way, then we know it also in our own heart. We do not want the Lord to come too close. And shall God's people fail that test? That is not possible. Why not? Because they are the gold. They are the silver of the Lord. And when the Lord raises them up in that new life, oh, the Lord will try them in that furnace of fire, and they shall come through it, not because of them, but because of him. Oh, his people, they shall come forth as gold. They shall come forth as that prize metal, and the Lord will take away all that does not belong in the heart of his children. They will not fail that trial. We don't have to worry about that. They are the Lord's own people, and the Lord tries his own work, that through them I may prove Israel. And when the Lord proves his people, then he makes a distinction in his people. Are they now the precious or are they the vile? Why does he have to prove his people? Because he says they are not all Israel that are of Israel. Do we believe that? Oh, because we are in the congregation, that does not make us one of God's people. Oh, we know that so very well. We know that very well. Older ones, we know that well. What about our children? Because sometimes you fear that the children When they are growing up, they will not know that very well. Or what do we teach unto our children? And they were to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. That is why the Lord leaves temptation in the life of his people, to prove them, to try them, whether they will hearken to his commandments or not. Every temptation that requires of us a choice that is of our will. Our will must make a choice. When there is a temptation, young people, when there is temptation, you see that with your eyes. Satan says, this is now pleasure, this is now good, this is now happiness. Temptation. The Lord leaves that temptation to prove something. Will he hearken? Will he hearken to my commandment? Or will he not hearken unto my commandment? Joseph was tempted. Lie with me. He had a new heart. And it was by the power of that new heart, that is a power that comes from the Lord, that he was able in that awful temptation to resist. How shall I do this great wickedness? Sin against God. See, we need young people, children, parents, fathers, mothers. What a day we live in with our children. With all this sin that comes so close. So close. What do we need? Oh, that we need a new heart. There is no other power that is able to resist that temptation. Oh, are we on our knees for our children and for our young people in the awful, awful days in which we are living? Why does the Lord leave these nations? You know, we read here, to teach his people war. War. Say, if only we could have peace. That is what Satan says too. Just have peace in the world, in my service. In my service, you can serve the whole world, everyone together. Just live it up. And have peace. That is the world we live in. And it's not only the world we live in, it is the world that lives in us. It is our heart. It is how we are born. It is our corruption by nature, dead in trespasses and in sins. Do you ever feel it? Within and without, sin, sin, sin. And now the Lord says, no, not peace. He says war. War. What kind of war is that? Oh, they must learn to fight. They must learn to fight against sin. What is it called? It is called a church militant. And now that temptation, that is there. Young people, to disobey my Father. Temptation, to disobey him. What is his command? What do I now want to do? temptation. And now the Lord says, I'm proving them. You are proved by it to see. The Lord leaves it there. The Lord does not have to leave it there. The Lord could take it all away. So the temptation is not there, but he leaves that there. Will he hearken? No. Or will he not hearken? Oh, there is enemy without. The greatest enemy is inside, isn't it? The greatest enemy is inside. Therefore the Lord left those nations. Oh, how much self-knowledge is given to God's people through the use of the enemy. By leaving those nations, the wickedness that lives inside, the slothfulness, the deadness, the drowsiness, that evil heart, that evil mind. Oh, it is by way of temptation that the Lord is revealing the corruption that lives in our heart. Solomon says the thought of foolishness is sin. The thought of foolishness. Oh, that is the war. That is internal. Do you have that war? Are you a member of that church militant? Lead me not into temptation. Oh, that is the prayer that the church of God is taught to pray. Therefore, the Lord left those nations to teach his people war and to make manifest who now belongs to him and who now belongs unto the world. Paul besought the Lord. Oh, he said, Lord, take it away. That temptation, that thorn in the flesh, that messenger of Satan to buffet me. Oh, 3 times he begged the Lord if the Lord would take it away. The Lord said, no. No. My grace that is sufficient for thee. Oh, my grace. That is now why the Lord, he is leaving that thorn. That he may magnify and that he may bring out his own grace in his people. Oh, how precious is Christ unto a warring people. To a warring people who have to experience every day again that I have no might against this great company that cometh against me. But do you know what Paul says? He says he was in all points tempted as we are, and yet without sin. Oh, he has received such a victory. A victor in that warfare with sin, with the devil, with the world, and over death. Oh, what a glorious holiness. What a glorious righteousness as he walked through the midst of this sin-sick world. In his disciples, in the church, in the midst of the world, and there was nothing. Oh, he never rolled it as a sweet morsel under his tongue, never. That is when it becomes sin. Oh, then when that temptation becomes sin, it is in the first moment of delight. Of delight, the thought of delight in that wickedness. Never in his mind. The whole world owes him service, does it not? All the people in the world. All the cattle, everything, the whole world. Christ has a right to the service of every being in this whole world, doesn't he? That's what the devil offered him. The devil offered him that, and he has a right to it. He said, only bow down to me. I will give it all to thee. The whole world, I will give it up. I will give it up. It will all be for thy service. And he? Oh, he rejected it. It was to be desired even by him, that holy being. It is really only right, but he rejected it. And he submitted himself to the will of his Father, his election, his elect people. And the rest, he said to Satan, those are left unto you. Therefore the Lord left those nations, O congregation. Do we consider the inclinations that live within our heart? Or do we not have a desire to do that? To consider the thoughts, the intents of our heart? Or do we just want to go on? In how many ways is the Lord not proving a man, a boy, a girl? How many of these trials, how many of these temptations do not come before us in a single day in our life? Does not have to be. The Lord could take them all away. The Lord leaves them, and he leaves them for a reason. With every temptation, you have to make your choice. And you make it either for the world and for sin, or you make it for him. What is the choice of your heart? Do we learn what's in our heart? Do we learn what lives within us? Do we find out more and more that from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, it is wounds, it is bruises, it is putrefying sores? Therefore, the Lord left those nations to make it evident who are his, who are not his. Therefore, the Lord left those nations. Oh, sin, congregation, can never be overcome in our own strength. Do you believe that? Is that your experience? The Lord commands us to mortify sin. Mortify. That speaks about death. So that there is none that breatheth. He promises help in that. Do you believe that, young people, children? Do you believe that? The Lord promises help in that. If we would desire in our heart to walk after his ways, oh, then you can bow your knees and you can say, oh, Lord, help me. With all my heart. Oh, you can say, oh, Lord, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Oh, then you say as God's servant. Does that live in your heart? Oh, the Lord promises to help with that. Or do you say, I do that tomorrow. Not today. Not this afternoon, not yet tonight, not yet this week, because there is still this, there is still that. Oh, I want to do it, but I want to do it later. Is that a matter of significance or not? Does that matter or not? Do you know what Joshua said? He said, choose you this day whom ye will serve. What did God's servant Elijah say to the people? He says, why halt ye between two opinions? He says, if the Lord be God, follow him. And if Baal, then follow him. Oh, you say, but I wait just till tomorrow. Just till tomorrow. Dangerous. Do you know why? First of all, because we do not know if there is a tomorrow. Second of all, because sin is addicting. You hear that, right, young people? About addictions. Are you careful then? Not to touch those things that are so addicting. Not to look at those things that are so addicting. Because once you begin, then you are drawn stronger and stronger and stronger. And you cannot help yourself anymore. And then there came a time that the Lord said concerning the children of Israel, if you're not going to put away your sin, I'm not going to help you anymore. If that is now your choice, then I will leave you in it. And I will leave the temptations for you. And I will leave those temptations there also for your children. You know, the children of Israel, they were servants sometimes. And that there was a day they had a choice that they could go. It was the day of liberty. And then there were some servants. They said, I love my master. I want to stay with my master. Then his master took an awl. And he bored his ear through to the post of the door. And then he remained his servant, his bond servant, forever. O congregation, there came a day for the Israelites that the Lord says he will not drive them out. You will not leave off with your sin. Then I said, no more hornet before you. You want to bore your ear to the door of this world? You want to make a choice? Your master in this world, you make a choice for the prince of this world. Then I leave you. Then I leave you to yourself. And I leave you in your bosom sins. Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shean and her towns. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer. Neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron. Neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Akko. Neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Bethshemesh. The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he said, because that this people hath transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein, as their fathers did keep it or not. Therefore, the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou show to us our sin and the danger of continuing therein, and that remedy that is so waiting patiently in thy long suffering for a tear, for a little sign of true grief, for a little godly sorrow, for a little turning. O Lord, deal not with us as we so justly deserve, but do convict us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, and make a place for thy dear Son in us and in our seed. Keep us in this day and in this week. Keep each one in the labor of their hands. Remember the afflicted. Supply for the poor. Care for the needy. Magnify thy name in our hearts. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 222, stanzas 4 through 8. O my people, hear my pleadings. Oh, that thou wouldest hearken now. No strange worship shalt thou offer, nor to idols shalt thou bow. 4 through 8 of Psalter 222.
Thank you.
The blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessed.